Good afternoon.
I'd like to call the April 10th, 2017 meeting to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And if you would, we'll have a moment of silence. Okay, thank you very much. I don't believe we have any guests today, so we're ready to go directly into executive session. I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
It's been moved in second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? There being none, we're now in executive session.
We're now live. We're open, guys.
And Ms. Albright gave you a list that you have in front of you about some events that will be coming up from now through the end of the year also.
Yes.
So anything that you have the ability to attend, you know, is always greatly appreciated. And I believe you did get the information I sent everyone. You had requested legislative information. I gave you the committee assignments and everything.
Yes. So,
yep. Okay. And without any... Dr. Owens?
Yes. I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda. Hopefully everyone's had a chance to take a look at it.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved in second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
There being none, motion carried. Approval of the March 13th minutes?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None? Motion carried. Now we're up to the superintendent's report.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Owens.
Yes, sir.
That's
good evening, everybody.
I'm going to highlight a few things from our adult education report for the month of April. Hopefully everybody's received that report. Enrollments, 2,895, running a little bit ahead of last year, which is a good thing. A couple of things in health pro I'd like to point out. We'll be having a graduation ceremony in the high school cafeteria on April 25th at 6 p.m. for a group of our folks graduating from the health pro programs. Also want to share with you every year Lynn Danner, who runs our apprenticeship program, applies through DOE for Perkins funds, and we try to spread those funds throughout a variety of programs within Health Pro. And this time he actually helped Ms. Hines secure some new cabinetry and a new sink for her Health Pro lab. So I'll just pass this picture around, took a picture of it. I think it really modernizes the CTC. We've done a lot of work out in that old metallic building the last few years. If you haven't been out there, updating some hospital beds and equipment, things of that sort. So we just get a small amount of Perkins funds now, but I think we make the best of what we can get. So. She was very appreciative to get a little bit of money to update that. And she's got a very nice facility out there that she uses for her training. Thank you, sir. A couple of other things on apprenticeships. April 27th, we'll be having our apprenticeship graduation ceremony. Hope you can join us. We usually line up around 6:45 in the evening. Have approximately 285 folks getting their certificates that night. It's always a nice event. for those folks. Please try to join us if you can. Groves, we have a total of 7 graduates so far. Ms. Zecklin is continuing to focus in on some folks who are very close. We're hoping that we can at least maybe double that by the end of the year, maybe get up to 15 or so.
You only had about 7 last year.
Wasn't that many? We're already ahead of last year. Yeah. So she's really working very diligently to try to do that.
That was the first thing I told her. The first thing I met her, I think 5 minutes after I said hello, says we need more graduates.
Yeah, she's on it. She's very focused, very determined, doing a nice job for us. With regard to other programs under her, chain of command, I just want to point out that this is our busy time of year for driver's education. She'll be doing the Newcastle County driver's education program as we have done in years past up at Ursuline Academy. So we'll be going up there pretty soon to do orientations and things of sort. That's a nice little money maker for us. So we'll continue. If they want to let us do that, we'll continue to do it. I also want to point out that we are in the process of completing. She worked with Lynn Danner, she being Mrs. Acklin, worked with Lynn Danner to put together a welding class for ESL students. We had roughly 9 students participate in that program. It's finishing up now. They did really, really well. And so now we're working with local providers to try to see if we can get some job placements for those folks. Because welders come in high demand. It's a good paying job. But it was a very rewarding experience for these guys. The instructor couldn't say enough about them. And so we feel real good about that. We will definitely run that program again. 2 final items. We're working with the high school folks. Every year we do an evening orientation program for students and parents. Talk about our dual enrollment programs, our programs with Deltec, our programs with Widener. We bring folks in. We have copies of the syllabus, copies of the textbooks. Try to answer any questions for them that they may have. And we'll actually even do some on-site sign-ups for classes if need be. So we're starting to gear up for that, get ready. And finally, not too early, we're already in the process of working on our fall marketing brochure, because that has to go on the street in late June. So staff's already working on putting the pieces around that. That's my report, unless anybody has any questions.
Thank you, Dr. Owens.
Thank you all very much. Happy Easter to everyone.
Thank you very much.
Happy Easter to you.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
So I'm not going to read to you all that, but as you can see, we had a busy last month. With our early care students competing in the Educators Rising program. As you can see, we got 1 gold place winner, 4 silver and a bronze. We have 24 of our legal services seniors earned their certification in legal support and emergency telecommunication certification. Okay, right there to work. We got HOSA. As you can see, a lot of winners with HOSA. See over here that through our Jeffers Awards program, 7 of our adults, 22 of our students actually had this event here with the Ducks Unlimited. And Mr. Dave Waters, sad to say, passed away last week, so sad to hear that. We kind of called him like a full-time substitute here, but sad to see him go. Look over here, keep going on with Skills USA, more winners, so we're sending a big group out west or down south this year. Right at Mark Quillen as our staff member of the month. Kind of played a huge role when one of our staff members resigned and went to another location. Mr. Quillen actually helped fill that gap. Our students didn't miss a beat or a day in class. So very proud of him. So outside of that, you have it right here in your board report. Next month, I'll be bringing some of the additions we'll be making to our agenda book. I have Ms. Albright include this in your packet. But we have that right now, so I'll have that for you next month.
Question.
Yes.
Did we have some students up to MOT charter for showing project, doing something?
Not to my recollection, sir. Not the MOT charter.
Well, my daughter teaches at MOT, and she ran across Sussex Tech students and said whatever they delivered, the project, whatever, was outstanding.
Okay. Now, I just in the store over the weekend, I had a person approach me about Sussex Central students actually won a robotics contest, and they were in the paper about it, but I'm like, no, it wasn't me. They were I want to take that.
Unless there was some competition held there, John.
Yeah.
They're held everywhere.
They're held everywhere, but not to my, and I don't know when they go to compete at the state level, win these goals.
Science Olympiad.
Exactly. Or it could have been math league. Again, I'm not quite sure of the location. Could have been. Did we do good, though?
We did great.
Awesome.
So you take it,
I'm going to take that. Run with it. Any more questions? All right, thank you very
good, John. Thank you. Glad you got anything for the calls.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Good evening.
Change order.
Again, just have two quick things, points of information. Both are good things. One, a change order for negative $575, and then the other is for negative $86,000, so we can put that back into the HVAC to get our boilers up to speed so we can have heat for this next heating season. Other than that, any questions?
When are you going to start testing your ACs units?
For the commissioning?
Yeah.
Down in the gym?
Yeah.
Supposed to be this coming week, over break.
Over break.
That way students and staff aren't here.
We haven't paid. We held out some money till they
yes.
do it.
Yep. Yeah, we still have everything. It's obviously encumbered. It's just not been paid out until everything's fully satisfied.
Yeah.
And tested and balanced and all the everything done.
Where are we at with our current funding, that money that's left?
For the HVAC?
Well, for projects.
For HVAC, once we put the 86,000 back, we're about 142, I can jot it down, the 146 thousand, which is just about what it's going to take to get the boilers up to speed. The auto shops have about 62, and then the district renovations 489.
And that's, honestly, Ed's going to get ready and ask for an extension because due to some holdups with our dear Department of Education on approvals, we're not going to meet the end of the year timeline for that. So Ed says it should hopefully be a formality.
Yes, sir.
And so it doesn't affect anything. We'll just have HUD and Kurt and I will just have to finish out the projects as with our subcontractors as we move forward. It's all after June 30.
If I could, this is what they call a continuing appropriation, and it is as routine as a quick email back and forth. They will email me actually and ask me for a list, and I'll include that.
And that's to finish it, everything off.
Close out the dollars.
What are we doing here for 48? What else are we doing here? 48,000.
Well, now you're getting into it. What we were supposed to do and what the spirit of it was, we were supposed to have some, as you'll see with all the stuff in the hallways and stuff that we've had upstairs and everything, we were supposed to have about 600 foot of storage and stuff added on the back, but now DOE says that we can't do that. So we're not doing that now. So we're looking to see how many dollars we had left because some things have cost a little bit more. We've got air circulation issues. HVAC's been updated, but we still have airflow issues. We are getting new windows. We tried to add insulation, but because we already have bat insulation here, we can't do any additional blow-in insulation. So we, if the money was available, thought about putting the insulation and the metal panels on the outside to create another air level and another insulation. It's just really gonna come down to how far the money's gonna go, but that's your creating ADA compliance entrance out front rather than having to come around back. Redoing your bathrooms and addressing the kitchen and the other issues, some of the flooring issues. That's eat that up quick.
Very quickly, and like Dr. Lathbury said, unfortunately, the plan that was moving forward, we got nixed on just a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
So we wouldn't have had the money. We had to change our priorities. Is that what you're saying?
We had to change the complete plan.
So that enabled you to do some other stuff, but not what you needed. Well, storage is always important.
Right, and because that funding is specifically for this building, it has to stay with this building. It can't be used anywhere else in the district.
And we chose to save it for last.
Right.
All other projects first, and this was to be last. Yeah. We did what? Shore the floor up and that kind of stuff, and did everything underneath it.
All the
not
stuff
visible.
Yeah, and it needed the immediate attention, but everything right. else was on hold until other priorities took place.
I don't know if it'd be a question for you or for Dr. Denby. This is my pet peeve every spring. Are they using that concession stand near the baseball stadium? I may have asked this. Is anyone using it, or is it wasted space and funding? And if not, it can be repurposed for something else to somebody that will use it.
To answer your first question, no, it's not being used. To answer your second question, we have a group of baseball folks that like to use it, but they want to make sure the money goes back to baseball. So that's just the kind of conversation we need to have to make sure everybody's on the same page. Something like that.
Yeah, but with baseball and softball right next to each other, when there's a baseball game, there's a softball game.
Well, like right
it's
now.
It's either that or don't use it.
right now. We have both going on.
Yeah.
And lacrosse today. So it's not going on down there.
Okay.
So the part that makes it difficult, water. There's no water in it. That's what people want. They want water from something as simple as washing your hands, filling a pot, boil hot dogs. They want, it's not.
What's the expense to get water? I mean, there's got to be water nearby.
It's not just the fact of adding the water.
It has to be treated. It has to be treated water. It can't just be like from the, there's irrigation all over the place. But it has to meet the standards, the drinking water standards and everything else. So you'd have to take another branch off the drinking water system. You'd have to trench it. You'd have to have the pipes tested and everything else. So it's...
We do it all the time. We do that all the time in the park.
Just run a hose across there?
No, we just run it. We run extensions of our system. We do it all the time. I mean, it's standard. It's a question. Anyway, it's not... I'm not going to lose sleep over it. It's just something that every year, if you see that building and know nothing's been used... It might, you know.
The rub is even worse is that we went through everything we went through to get it ready and get it prepared and then for it, but it's not, doesn't make us.
How much would water cost? $50,000, $100,000,
$20,000, $10,000? Honestly, I don't know. I'd have to look at where the closest tie-in could be.
It's got to be not far.
And it could be. But again, that's also shutting the system down to hook into it and everything else. So it wouldn't be able to be done anytime soon. While students are here, because you can't have students in session.
You don't have isolated pipes where you could shut a certain area.
Well, the main well is down that way. So that's one of the main lines coming in, so you would have to shut the building down in order to...
That's where we finally got clean water for the campus.
Right.
If you remember the old tea that we used to have that come out of the... It was terrible. Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
But on the upside with that, our maintenance crew... did tie in the irrigation to the stadium electric system, so we should stop losing the irrigation controllers, which cost thousands and thousands if you have to continually replace them. So it's tied in, so it won't be affected by the load controls with the Delaware Electric Co-op. So on the plus, we're making strides in those areas, but just no water at this point.
Okay.
And all right. Okay. I have two things tonight, the regular financials and then also the financial position report. But before I go, I want to share. I was at a budget meeting on Friday, so I want to quickly share the latest on the state budget. And you've seen this in the newspapers. It's bad, and it's getting worse. We have the April DFAC meeting. We have the May DFAC meeting, we have the June. So it could get better, it could get worse, who knows. But right now, it's pretty bad. It's so bad, you know, the I want to tell a joke, but I won't. It's so bad. It's a $4 billion budget. It's almost 10% deficit now. It's $380 million is the deficit. And of course, we're over a third of that. It's so bad that it isn't just a deficit in next year's, it's a deficit in this year. They're going to have to pull back money from several state agencies this year. They already hit you? Yeah, I mean, it's bad. Now, they're not hitting us yet.
Yeah.
But if the April numbers are bad, or if the May numbers are bad, then we could be asked to give money back. Folks, we'd be hard-pressed to do that because you know how we spend the state money first because we don't get interest on the state money. So it's just prudent for us to spend the state monies first. You see very little state money left here. But it's a problem. And to put that in perspective for us, that $380 million for the Department of Ed, originally we were told it would be a $15 million cut, and now it's more than twice that. The cut to Sussex Tech will be somewhere in the neighborhood of $400,000. Current numbers today would be $400,000. As you know, in our discretionary budget, it's only $1.4 million in state money. To lose $400,000 of that, it's like almost 30% of that. And that's on the heels of a funding cliff. Local dollars, we're going to lose 23%. So these are tough times. When we get to the last slide tonight, I want to thank you again for allowing us to build a reserve, because that's going to be the difference in us laying off people next year. We will not have to lay off people because of that reserve. So enough on that. Two things tonight. First, just plain vanilla. Right here, the financial reports for the end of February. Next time we're together, we'll do March, which will be the end of the fiscal quarter. You can see the benchmarks are 66.7 in terms of fiscal year, and then 65% in terms of payroll. Okay. Payroll cycle. So let's just get to the numbers. The big number here, of course, is property tax, $9.9 million collected out of our $10 million bogey. You know, we're starting to catch up to that percentage from last year, aren't we? Hey, take a look at March. I was hoping we'd actually hit 100% in March. Didn't quite get it. You don't have that on yours because I just got it the other day, and you know how I can't leave stuff alone, right? So take a look behind you. Behind me, and hopefully you see the March numbers are not highlighted, but it's 99.48. Another 52,000, and we'll hit 100% of our goal, which should happen in April. I'll be surprised if it doesn't happen.
We're only little under 600,000 difference, which that was our last increase. So once we hit June, we have no increases. It's done.
That's right. You hit that right on the head. Yeah. And this is what Mr. Cooper's referring to, folks. Last year, we got the 1 penny increase to bring us to, I'm sorry, the 5.5 penny. Well, I can't talk tonight. There it is. You see it. Yep. You know what I mean. It's 0.55, right? 5.5 cents, which brought our rate to 29 cents. This year, we got another penny, which brought the rate to 30 cents, right? And next year, as Mr. Cooper is saying, we hit the funding cliff. And please note, that will cost us $2.6 million in lost property tax money, that funding cliff. Dr. Lathbury, Dr. Bunning, and I are meeting with some Sussex County legislators tomorrow to address this issue. Okay, so property tax revenue is good right now, okay? If we go to that number on the total discretionary revenue screen, we can see that that section where you see the 9.9 million local fund section, that's the only section that changed from the prior month significantly. State funds, we got the backload a couple months ago, and that's sitting at $1.4 million, the same as it was the prior month. Property tax, the different types of property taxes increased roughly $88,000 when you put it all together, so a minuscule increase. Gate receipts went up a little bit, I guess basketball season. Indirect costs went up a little bit as well. So total revenues are sitting at 99.2%. Again, hopefully next month we'll be sitting at 100%. Let's look at how the district has spent the money. The benchmarks, again, are 67% of the fiscal year complete, 65.4% of payrolls. You know this is the Nancy Reagan approach, so these numbers are screwy as could be. This will not happen in normal fiscal years, which we haven't had one in a while. But go to the bottom line and you see that this district's only spent less than 46% of this operating budget. That's by design. We don't like it. It hurts. Everybody hates me. But the bottom line is it's not about me. It's about those students and protecting the jobs of those teachers. So if it's not urgent, we don't spend it.
Question. Why'd you put in line 19, local funded construction?
We had that, I talked about that last time, but let me clarify, okay? We did have the local construction as part of contingency, but because it was getting so big and becoming such a, I thought the board would like to see that individually. So what I did is, and that's why there's a zero here. Mm-hmm. You see that what I've done is I've put the expenditures a separate line, but I haven't, because you didn't approve any expenditures there, I don't show it. Now I know you can do that math, and you can see that we overspent that budget, right? I mean, you see that. But this is a sad reality that HUD and Dr. Lathbury have talked to many times. With an aging facility that you can't get money to fix and you can't get money to replace it, maintenance will become a bigger and bigger issue. So I suspect we'll see that number get bigger each year. Good question. Just a couple quick points on the expenditures first. Again, it's only 45.7%. The only line that can bankrupt us here is payroll, and you can see that's sitting at 55%, more than 10% under budget at this point. Okay, and that is a good thing. It won't stay that big of a difference because March is a tough month in terms of EPR pay, extra pay for extra responsibility, and other things too. So you'll see that creep up a little bit in coming months. Expenditures looking good. The last thing I want to say about expenditures is energy money, utility money. You can see it sitting there. We've only spent $215,000 out of that $670,000 line. Every year, because of the energy saving initiatives, we can give, not give back, we would never give back. We can recode energy money into classroom money. Last year, I think it was 60 grand that we did. This year, we haven't quantified it yet, but I suspect it's going to be somewhere near 60,000 again this year. Let's look at cash flow, please. There's the 9.9 million one last time. That's what we've collected in property tax purely for current operations. We've spent 5.1 million of that to date. That means that we have a net plus for this year of 4.8. If you add that to the 5 million that we ended the year with last year, we're currently sitting at 9.9 million. Now, the number will go down every month until we get to the end. And I made the mistake of showing this to you once. I'm going to show it to you all the time now. A straight extrapolation of those numbers predicts that we'll have 7.3 million by the end of the year. But I caution you, don't take that number as gospel, because this assumes every month the expenditures will be the same, and the second half of the year is more expensive because we have step increases and things like that. So it's probably going to be closer to, it'll be somewhere probably around 6.8 is what I would guess is worth it. Any questions about that? I'm sorry.
And our rainy day money is part of that, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Really, and that is. I mean, really, if we want to really keep it simple, that is the rainy day money. That amount we'll end the year with will be our rainy day money.
And that ain't gonna last us.
No, it won't. I mean, if you just take the rough numbers, $2.5 million that the property tax go down next year, and divide that into that number, that tells you you really don't have but a few years. To either get a tax increase, or there is no good alternative other than laying off a significant number of people, which
and you'd have to do that in order to yes, you know, $50 here, $50. I mean, it all helps, but
you're right.
You have to hit 1/3 of your staff.
There's only one line on there big enough to cover the kind of deficit.
But if you don't have that, then why are we here?
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, on that somber note, let me, I was able to get this done today, so with your permission, even though this was not in the board packet, I'd like to show you the financial position report, the last one for the fiscal year. And isn't it amazing how fast the months go by? Here we are, it seems like yesterday we briefed the first one for the fiscal year, this is the last one. And what this report does, folks, is let me get it up here too, so it might be a little easier to see. And I can make that bigger too. There you go. What this one does, each one of these three reports is a little bit different. The whole idea here is, will we make it to the end of the year with enough money here to cover that times 3.5? And obviously, we meet that. In fact, that number's so big, that's going to become an issue tomorrow when we talk to legislators, I'm sure.
okay? But take a look at this, so just so you can see how this works. This report, which is based upon March 31st data, is due to the Department of Ed and to Office of Management and Budget May the 1st. And this says whether we're solvent for the rest of the year and into the new year. So it asks, what are the monies available as of the end of March? And as of the end of March, we have $9 million unencumbered, $300 encumbered, and then we have projected income, property tax of $110. Put that together to get through the year, we'll have $9.5 million in revenues available. We will spend $1.8 for payroll and roughly $1.9 for non-payroll for a total of $3.8. This is a routine report using DOE shells and formulas. DOE and the Office of Management Budget will be secure knowing that we're financially solvent, obviously, right? $5.7 million compared to that. So it's routine, but we do need the board president to sign the report, and to have that happen, we need the board to have heard it and the board to be comfortable with approving it. Are there any questions about these solvency reports?
Yeah, these numbers are going to keep going down.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. If we don't get the funding cliff, we don't get House Bill 100 repealed, the sunset repealed, these numbers will go down significantly.
Forget about the sunset and just keep going. That's not ideal.
That's not a bad idea.
That's not ideal, but that's better than where we're at.
We would be thrilled with that at this point. Okay. Then, if there are no other questions, if I could ask, we'll need a board motion to approve the monthly financials and the financial position report as presented. Please.
Request a motion to approve the monthly financial. We have to do separate, correct?
Separate.
Yes, sir.
Or together. Okay. Financial position, that was the first one?
Yes, please.
Okay. I make a motion that we accept that.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
And then a motion to approve the monthly financial reports as presented.
Yeah, approve the monthly financial reports as presented.
I make a motion to approve the monthly financial report.
Thank you, sir.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Very good. Okay.
Thank you, folks.
Well, I have questions, but I'll trust everybody with this. But obviously. Request a motion to approve the personnel agenda as presented.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Anybody against? Okay. Any items? Any other discussion items? I apologize for getting here late. They were desperate. I worked the office today. You know, they're digging to the bottom to put me in the office, and we had lines out the door. So I was a phone. I was the guy Friday answering the phone. I ran to get lunch. I bought lunch. I mean, while they were working. So I do apologize. I knew I was going to be late. And
I'm impressed.
I didn't. Hopefully, Bobby got the message. Request a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Very good.
Good chicken back here, guys.
Yeah.
No, Pat.